Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
Coach Patino is going to be throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium tonight. I was like, you know what? Giants had themselves a great offseason. Throwing out the first pitch at Yankee Stadium. Why not try to get Coach Patino on? I did not know, BT, that we'd be asking Coach if he wanted to throw his name in the ring to coach the New York Knicks. Maybe a little full circle here, Coach Patino. What are we saying?
I was very proud to be the assistant coach under UB Brown and very proud to win the Atlantic Division as head coach of the New York Knicks. I can assure you that a 73-year-old is not coaching 100 games anymore.
Yeah, we'd like to get him to 105. That's kind of the problem here. Coach, how's the summer going? You okay? Everything good?
Everything's great. You know, I was actually sitting in shock when I heard Thibodeau. About 10 minutes prior to Tibbs getting fired, I said to someone, what is wrong with you? There's no way that Tibbs is going to get fired. It shouldn't even be talked about. And then 10 minutes later, I got a text from the same guy said, Tibbs is just
fired. Who's that, Dolan? No, I'm just kidding. All right, so let me ask you this. I remember a couple of years ago when I was in the room when he did the press conference against Seton Hall, when he talked about a lack of lateral quickness, right? And then you changed the roster, and obviously last year, 31 wins, fun run, and it's going to be even better this year. In the NBA, you can't just change the roster. One of my issues with Tom Thibodeau, who I love and I respect, is that I don't know that he maximized the roster and worked around defensive deficiencies. How do you work around somebody like Towns and or Brunson who don't move that well and are problems on defense? What could you do?
Well, first and foremost, let's look at the NBA offenses. You've got basically 15 seconds to run an offense. By the time you cross half court, a pace is played at a little quicker pace. But you've got 16 seconds to run an offense. So after you create your simple movement, somebody is going to have to paint touch and distribute the basketball or throw it into the low post and cut off the low post, which they don't do anymore. So the problem with the Knicks is you had everybody playing poorly in the last game. That had nothing to do with Tibbs at all. Tibbs is a great defensive coach who hands were handcuffed with 7.5 basketball players. In pick and rolls, you had a down pick and rolls because Carl Towns can't get out there. You can't switch like the Oklahoma Thunder and front the post where they are great at defense. So the Knicks were hampered by their lateral quickness, by their size, and by the fact that they only had 7.5 basketball players to go to. None of that is Tibbs' fault. So now you want to make a change, and here's what you have to say. Who's going to go into the New York Knicks situation right now? And anything short of the Eastern Conference, anything short of the NBA Finals, is going to be a disaster for this new coach. So the pressure on this new coach, whoever it may be, is going to be probably the biggest amount of pressure I've seen in all my tenure of rooting for the Knicks.
Wow. Wow. Yeah, and I know that you tweet about the Knicks. I've seen you at the games this year. So you're right. That's a pretty heavy statement. Well, then it's got to be somebody who's got broad enough shoulders, coach, to handle this in terms of some experience. I mean, do you have a do you have a person that you actually think could actually match that situation you just described, which is not going to be easy? I'm going to give you that for sure.
Red Holtzman, and he's no longer no longer blessed with Red Holtzman. So
that's it.
I don't know. You guys would have to mention the name, and I could comment on it, but I don't know who's in.
Well,
the
how about a first timer coach like Johnny Bryant, who's been an assistant, had some success as an assistant, was here under Tibbs. He's been a popular name that's thrown out there. You think a first time head coach in New York could take this team to a championship level?
Well, if I'm Johnny Bryant, I would. He's never called the timeout. He's never been a head coach, and you're now putting him in to replace a great basketball coach who's taken the city by storm. And what I don't gauge is whether the players like or dislike him. Mm-hmm. I throw that out the window because I've seen it happen over and over and over. He's a player's coach. Everybody loves him. Then he gets fired. Then we want a disciplinarian to come in because the player's coach didn't work and the disciplinarian's too tough on the guy. So we got to throw all of that out. Whether he's a strategist, whether he's a coach, getting along with the players is not a resume for somebody becoming the head coach of the Knicks. So I don't know Johnny Bryant. He may be terrific. But you're throwing an unknown commodity into a situation where you better get to the finals. And anything short of that, everybody's going to second guess it. So if Johnny Bryant's the guy, I'll be rooting for him and certainly become an admirer of the Knicks once again.
What about somebody like Jason Kidd?
Well, why would Jason Kidd take the job?
I mean, because they're really good. It's a lot of money, and it's the Knicks, and it's the Garden. That's a starting point.
New York better than Dallas?
Is he a free agent?
No, I think they'd have to make some kind of move for him. But.
Yeah, or Spoelstra make a trade. You think it's something? Could it be something that bold? You trade for somebody, Coach?
I can't. Eric Spoelstra's not leading the Miami Heat. I mean, let's look at reality. I mean, can you get Jay Wright to be? Can you open it up for Jay? Jay makes a lot of sense. Obviously, he's got the personality handle in New York.
Yeah,
he's got the charisma. He makes a lot of sense. Obviously, with the Villanova guys. But I will tell you, coaching the guys in college and coaching the guys in the pros is different. Personally, I think Jay Wright would be a home run. Can you get him to do that? I'm not sure.
Coach, how about chasing a championship? BT and I argued about this before. I'm all for building sustained success, and then maybe from there the championship will come. I think you get yourself in trouble when you have that singular goal of chasing a championship. What do you feel about the Knicks now making this move because they don't believe Tibbs could be the guy to win a championship because he hasn't done it before?
I don't agree with any of that. I think the New York Knicks played very poorly in the last game. It had nothing to do with Tom Thibodeau's coaching or Rick Carlisle's brilliance. It had to do with the New York Knicks not playing good basketball in that game from a turnover standpoint, from a defensive standpoint. It was the players at the pro level get all the credit, and they should get some responsibility of the blame of not playing well in that game, but let's give the Pacers credit. So the New York Knicks, are they championship-driven? The team they have right now is a great group of guys that play their asses off. They've captured the imagination of the city. They've been as popular as any team in the last 25 years. But the New York Knicks, unless they get more players and they fill out the roster in a better defensive situation, because that's what it comes down to. The reason the Thunder is so great is their defense is incredible. The reason the Pacers are outstanding is their offense is really great. So the Knicks are not great offensively and they're not great defensively. They're a hard-nosed basketball team that gave us a lot of joy.
You know, Coach, in a lot of ways, it sounds like you're describing your team from last year.
Well, my team the first year was a really good offensive basketball team. And last year, we were terrific on defense, but we had our offensive limitations both from the three-point line and the foul line. Yeah. So we're going to make the corrections this year with our offenses as well as our defenses. Now, can we play the We're playing Alabama in the Garden, Ole Miss in the Garden. We're playing Iowa State and Baylor and another great team out west. We're playing Kentucky and Atlanta, plus the Big East. Can we withstand that schedule? Well, I'm the one who made it, and I think we can.
How long did it take to get over the Arkansas loss? I know the players are different than you guys. How long? I'm sure it's still with you to an extent, but how long did you walk around with that feeling?
You know, I've been in seven Final Fours and been blessed with great players playing in that. I don't feel we were a great basketball team last year. I thought we were a great defensive team. And if one player is shooting, say, 3-for-17, the other player is shooting 1-for-10, you got to give Arkansas a lot of credit with the defense they were playing. So this year, we're going to move forward. I think we've made the corrections offensively to our basketball team. We're better from the three-point line. We're better from the foul line.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We're talking with Coach Rick Pitino here on the day the Knicks, well, yesterday the Knicks moved on from Coach Tom Thibodeau. Good day to have Coach Pitino on. You mentioned the Knicks need more defense. What about their star players, Coach? I feel like, and you're better equipped to answer this certainly than I am, so I'm going to ask you, I feel like the NBA is a star-driven league, and they'll only go as far as their stars can take them. That's why I blame, first and foremost, Karl-Anthony Towns. Do you think that Jalen Brunson and Karl-Anthony Towns can be a championship duo together?
Okay, say this. I think Karl-Anthony Towns can become a great NBA basketball player. Does he have limitations? Well, there are a lot of great players. Jokic has limitations on a pick and roll as well. Now, Karl-Anthony Towns is not Jokic. So a lot of NBA players have Shaq, as great as he was not a great pick and roll defender. So if I had to take Karl-Anthony Towns, if I was the head coach of the Knicks, which I would never wish myself that at this stage in my life, I will say this. Karl-Anthony Towns needs to get down to 8 or 9% body fat. Yeah. He needs to get his body in phenomenal shape, and he will enhance his game at the defensive end tremendously. He's a really good offensive player. He won't be going to the rim and staggering a little bit as he drives to the rim. He'll be making good, quick, direct north and south moves if he gets his body in better shape. Mm-hmm. But Karl-Anthony Towns is a very talented young man. So, and for people saying we need to trade him, you're not going to trade him because you're not going to get exactly what you need. So that's he's here. Brunson is a great basketball player. He's the heart and soul of the basketball team. Now what you need to do is you need to take 6-10 and make it better. And then play in, look, if you have injuries, can 11 and 12 play as well?
Yeah.
So it's the bench that's the problem. It's not, I mean, you've had some players go up and down with turnovers and so forth, but you need to improve the bench. Karl-Anthony Towns and Brunson, you're not going to trade. Now, everybody wants Giannis as well as I do, but how are you going to get Giannis is the question.
Well, my answer would be I would serve up Karl-Anthony Towns. Now, I don't think the Bucks would do that because the Bucks want to strip away money. But if, let's say, you're the GM of the Knicks and that comes across your desk, you make that move straight up, Towns for Giannis, you got to make that trade.
I would make it in a New York second.
You have to.
Not a New York minute, but yeah. Milwaukee Bucks aren't making it.
100%. That's why I said what I said. Coach, you got to help me out with something here. Because, you know, when we talk about, if we do this with football as well. Like the technical aspect, sometimes we gloss over stuff because we just have to do a radio show. If we get wrapped up in the mechanics and the nuances, it gets boring and nobody wants to really hear that, even though it really does matter. But one thing that I don't understand, all right, how time after time after time you can't get back on transition defense. I'm watching the game with Sal the other night. Knicks score a bucket. I go to sip, you know, take a sip of beer, give him a little pound. I look up. 2 points to the Pacers. It happened all series. Is that not recognition? Is that poor coaching? Or is that poor athletes? It's got to be something, Rick.
Well, I've always said this. The two toughest things to teach are transition defense and offensive rebounding in basketball. The two toughest things to teach. So let's look at the reasons why you get beat in transition. You get beat in transition because you turn the ball over. You take a bad shot, and you have two guys in the corner spotting up, and now you're late getting back. So you cure your problems by what we call forming a box, where you take 20 to 25% of the court, and you just knock that out, and everybody forms a box with wherever the ball's coming down. And now your trailer has to obviously get to the weak side. And if you'll notice, in the New York Knicks game, the trailer was always late getting back. And he was, so whoever it may be, I'm not going to cast any aspersions at any individual. But if you're late getting back, then your transition defense breaks down, forming your box. So you can't be late. You have to be what we call a back pursuer. Yep. You have to try and back pursue the basketball and take the nearest guy away from the ball to in a rotation. We failed on that over and over and over in that series.
But whose fault is it? That's my real question. Like, to me, that's got to be fixed by the coach, Rick.
Yeah, okay, so you tell player X, listen, man, you got to get back. I remember UB Brown saying, it was one of the funniest timeouts of all time. Ernie Grunfeld and I were hysterical together. He put his little magnetic piece. He said to Bill Cartwright, Bill, if you're not on the glass offensively, and then he'd move Bill's piece, the number five, and you're not back defensively, I've got one question. Where the F are you?
Yeah.
So that's the bottom line.
Yeah.
If you're that person, so now you have a timeout and you say, player X, listen, man, you got to get your ass back and you got to pursue that basketball from behind and make your rotation. You can't be laying on the ground after you went in for a layup. Get your tail back. So the coach tells him that, and the next time he's got to get back.
Got it.
It's as simple as that. You make that adjustment.
Okay. So Coach Pitino agrees with me that it's on the players, not the coach. All right, Coach. Well, I have one for you on your program. You're in a similar spot as the Knicks, whereas you built it up, you got to the tournament, you won a game a year ago. Now the expectation is, hey, Final Four or bust here. I know we know you can handle that, but are you chasing a Final Four or a national championship, or are you just trying to do the same thing, building your program up to have sustained success and maybe hope to one-time break through?
Well, let's look at it this way. We're pretty much, St. John's is pretty much in the same ball game as the New York Knicks. I mean, right now it's the fans are starving. They were starving for a Big East championship. They were starving to make the tournament. We accomplished it. The New York Knicks are starving to win a championship. It's been a long, long time. So St. John's is pretty much in the same boat. And for me, am I chasing a championship? Am I chasing a Final Four? Without question, because my window's closing as a basketball coach. So do I want it, whether it's St. John's or wherever? Of course I do. It's been a long time since the Knicks have won a championship. It's been a long time. I don't think St. John's has won a championship, I'm not sure, in modern times. A
couple of NITs, but no, you're right. Yep.
So are we chasing it? Without question, the same way the Knicks are. But that's the type of pressure that you just love, because every single day you wake up with that excitement, with that anticipation of trying to get there. And so I'm excited about it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. Talking to Rick Pitino, of course, St. John's head coach, BT and Sal. So the first pitch tonight, as you walk out to that rubber there, Coach. Now, I've seen you on the treadmill a lot. I know you're still in good cardiovascular shape. I know you play golf. How's the wing? You can't be short hopping this tonight. You got to make us look good, Coach.
I've got a bad leg right now, so I'm not going to make excuses. I was just practicing on pavement in Harrison, throwing the baseball for the first time in a few years. But I'm going to get it over the mound. I'm not going to be short. Donovan Mitchell caught me last time and was a little short. I'm not going to do it at Yankee Stadium. It's either going to go 20 feet over his head, but I'm not bouncing this baseball.
I love that. That is absolutely awesome. And listen, Yanks had a good one last night. 15 games over 500. For those who don't know, Rick's got season tickets right beyond the Yankee dugout. He's not one of these guys who pops up and, oh, I'm a Yankee fan because they're good. He is a monster Yankee fan. I love what I'm seeing so far. I think the changes, the changes they made, they work. They're a well-rounded baseball team right now, Coach. You like what you're seeing?
They are, and they're getting... Rodan's pitching great, certainly. Last night, Lytle did a good job coming in. I like this baseball team, whether we can beat the Dodgers or not, or Detroit's playing great baseball right now. The Mets across down are playing great baseball, but I like this team a lot. I think they're built to win. I think it's going to be a long season. Let's get tonight. We're tied for the best record in baseball right now. Certainly, Detroit's playing great baseball. The Dodgers are terrific. But I'm excited about it. I'm a big fan. There's nothing better on a beautiful night. Last night I sat there. It's a beautiful night. I'm there with my assistant coach and friends, and we're just looking at each pitch and baseball is moving so much faster than the old days. You're out in 2 hours and 20 minutes. It's just a great night to be out at the baseball park and watching the Yankees.
I thought you were a Mets fan, Coach.
Get out of here, Mets.
I see you with the Mets jersey.
I don't root against the Mets. I'd love to see. I have family members that root for the Mets, that they're big Mets fans. So I don't root against the Mets, but I love the New York Yankees, and certainly I'm a diehard Yankee fan since the late 50s.
You got that right. All right, I got one more for you. I can't not ask you this. So you've talked about this publicly. I'm curious, Coach, and I know it's a year-to-year evaluation, but any more clarity as to how long you really think you can or want to be the head coach at St. John's? It's a different job these days with the portal. There's a lot of hustle, and it's very different. I know you're a youthful 72, but you yourself have said, I'm 72. How much longer do you think we get out of Coach Pitino with the Johnnies here?
I don't think you, when you're talking to someone in his early 70s, I don't think you say it's 1 year, 2 years, 3 years. I just say the Lord has blessed me so far with decent health. I want to coach as long as I can and stay sharp physically, mentally. But, you know, I just don't know what I would ever do without basketball. That's the problem I had. I did spend 2 years without basketball, and in the end, I didn't like my life very much at all.
Yeah.
It was a good life. I was down in Miami. It was a good life. Yeah. But I'm an average golfer. I'm an average tennis player. I'm an average everything outside of coaching basketball. So I love being around young people, trying to get them to reach their potential, trying to get the team to reach their potential. It's exciting. Every single day I drive to Queens, not necessarily to drive, but when I arrive there at St. John's, I can't wait to work the players out. Can't wait to see what we can accomplish this year. So I'll take it year by year and hope for the best.
You think RJ is going to get drafted?
You know, RJ, I noticed there was a lot with me not playing him. I coached to win, and in that situation, I was putting the guys on the court I think could help us win the game. RJ, I think, is going to be a great pro. I think people are going to make a mistake if they don't draft him. I think he will get, without question, a two-way contract. I think, as well as Kadari Richmond, I think Kadari Richmond will be an outstanding pro. So I think he's a jump shot away from really being a terrific pro. But RJ is an interesting basketball player. His greatest asset is his ability to pass the ball. Now, he didn't do it as often as I'd like, but that's his greatest attribute. He can also score. He can also block shots. He's a great rebounder. He's a great one-on-one defensive player. And here's the thing that people really don't understand. He's a phenomenal young man.
Yeah.
He's a great, great young man. So he's got all the tools to be a terrific player. I wish the Knicks would draft RJ, because RJ can play for the New York Knicks. He really can. So I'm a big RJ fan. He was great for us. He was the MVP of the Big East. But he's got tremendous talent. And, you know, he's going to mature as a basketball player, get better and better and better, handle it, pass it, score it. His three-point shot, which is very average, will only get better. Remember, everybody gets better at the NBA level three-point shooting. You know, guys that couldn't shoot the ball at all become really good three-point shooters at the NBA level. And I think if somebody drafts RJ, he's going to be on that team for 10 years.
Yeah, nice. I'd like to see the Knicks get somebody who could actually hit a three with some consistency. All right, Coach, thank you so much for your time today. Enjoy the game tonight. Good luck with your first pitch. We'll talk to you soon.
Throw a strike.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
There you go.
Coach Pitino spending some time with us. We appreciate it on this day that we're talking about Tom Thibodeau getting fired. So Coach Pitino, BT, officially taking his name out. He will not be the next head coach of the New York Knicks.
Doesn't surprise me. I told you I had the conversation with him in December about that. He just can't do it from an energy perspective. You know, this is similar to what I said about Danny Hurley, the way
five
he coaches.
Years ago, you take him?
I mean, there's no, what, I take him 5 years ago? 100%.
Yeah, or maybe.
So do I think, let's put it this way.
Would you take him now? He's not going to do it, but now,
if I own the Knicks, and you know what I think of Pitino as a coach, I think he's the greatest college coach of all time. If I'm Dolan or LaRose, I'm not reaching out to Rick at this point. But I'll tell you what, if Rick's 65 and he's coaching St. John's, it's a call that I'm making.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
He hosts the Starting Lineup Monday through Friday on Sirius XM NBA. He's also on the YES Network. Frank, dude, you have any more jobs? You going to be putting your hat in the ring for the Knicks head coaching job?
I could definitely use the money. I like how your producer gave me the good walk-up music, too. That's a producer that's thinking. There you go.
He was paying attention. All right, Frank, let's get right into it. First, I want to get your take. I've heard some reports. I've talked to some people. Do you feel like this decision to move on from Tom Thibodeau was all Leon Rose, not James Dolan?
No, oh, come on. Leon Rose was Tom's agent. He's been his friend for 30 years, and Leon is very conservative by nature. So you're telling me after the Knicks made it to their first conference finals in 25 years, the first hire that Leon Rose ever made, he thought, you know what? We probably need to get rid of this guy. Now, if they had meetings over like a week and things settled down a little bit and maybe 2-3 weeks after the season, maybe that's something different. I think everyone was pretty emotional. I'm sure some of the players, you know, probably in those exit interviews and their reports that Jim Dolan was actually a part of that. So the Knicks acted, I think, based on emotion. Look at the comparison. Minnesota made it to back-to-back conference finals. You know, they lose. It's not Chris Finch needs to go, and we have to make all these dramatic moves. Their GM, President Tim Connelly, he has a press conference to discuss the season that they had. Go back to last year. You know, Rick Carlisle, who, you know, we all know is a very good coach, his team blew. I was at that game up in Boston. They blew game one to Boston in the conference finals. They then got swept. Did Indiana fire Rick? Did they fire Rick Carlisle? Did they make it seem like the sky was falling? They looked at it like, you know what, we made a pretty good jump. And that's the thing that I don't understand about the Knicks. And I don't need the Knicks fans to tell me we're here to win a championship. Yes, I'm well aware of that. So are the other 30 teams in the league. Basically, every professional team wants to win a championship. So do the sportsmen. It doesn't make you unique. But the Knicks had a really good season. Compared to the last 25 years, it was an outstanding season. You knocked off the defending champs. I don't think they looked at it from a 30,000-foot view. I think they just acted on emotion. They got rid of the coach, and now they have to find someone. Good luck with that.
Do you think Jalen Brunson's on board with this?
Probably not, but, you know, I mean, I think it's a little bit different. You know, where he is right now in the league and maybe the age that he's at. I think Patrick Ewing would have put up a bigger fight, but, you know, maybe Jalen Brunson, personality-wise, I'm sure they knew how he felt. Obviously, they didn't really care that much how he felt. I don't know. You know, it's funny, too, Sal, and you see all this stuff. When you see everyone telling you why the coach should go, and, you know, all of a sudden everyone is John Wooden. They start telling you that the offense isn't creative enough and he doesn't use the bench. No one ever brings up the results. How are the results? They won 50-plus games back-to-back seasons. They made it to the conference finals. They knocked up the defending champs. So I don't understand how when they lose against – so they beat Detroit. They beat Boston against Indiana. They have to use more of the bench because they can't play their two best players together because they're not good defensive players. So now you have to use a little bit more of your bench, and everyone's saying, see, aha, he should have been using the bench all season long. They didn't use the bench against Boston, and they won, and they lost, Indiana. So why are you saying should he use the bench, the end-all, be-all? It's bizarre.
You think
all my years covering the NBA, when I went to the finals and it was Michael Jordan and then later on with Steph Curry, we never sat around saying, I wonder how come the ninth man didn't play. Nobody ever said that.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's a ridiculous conversation. BT and I have gotten into it as far as the bench goes. I understand people, the minutes police, and they think that that's an issue, but and maybe against Indiana, different story. I can't be focused on the eighth or ninth player on the team. I'm more focused on the superstar, which brings me to Karl Anthony Towns. You think this has to do with Karl Anthony Towns and maybe him not being able to be coached properly by Tibbs?
No, I think he's coached properly by him. I think, you know, he had a really good year. He finished, he make All-NBA third team. You know, Karl came to the Knicks with the reputation that he's not a good defensive player. So it's not breaking news that he struggled defensively. That's a big part of it. And I think, you know, when you're dealing in the pressure cooker that is New York, and I like Karl a lot, I think he's getting way too much criticism. But when he, you know, hurt his knee in game four, and then, of course, it came out, you know, he's questionable and whether or not he could play. I knew he would play well in game five because I think he felt like the pressure was off of him. If I don't play well, I could blame my knee. If I play well, look how heroic I was playing with the bad knee. And look at what's been leaked out since the season ended, you know, from his people. He's been getting so beaten up that I think they felt like they needed to protect him. So they leaked out that he received treatment on his knee. What does that mean? He got a massage? He got ice on his knee? He didn't get – the word treatment is a lot different than procedure. It's not like they stuck a needle in his knee or he had to get some kind of surgery. So everyone is kind of like running for cover right now because now that they got rid of the coach, the next people that are going to be on the hit list will be the players in terms of the criticism and the front office. Last year, Josh Hart was the toast of the town in New York, throwing out the first pitch. He's everywhere to be found. He asked out of the lineup, has he done a podcast yet? I know he loves doing a podcast. Why doesn't he do his podcast and explain how poorly he played against Indiana?
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be doing that podcast soon, which everybody's going to be waiting to hear from both him and Jalen Brunson as far as the Knicks now with their new head coach, or with without Tom Thibodeau looking for a new head coach. We're talking with Frank Isola. You can catch him on Sirius XM, Starting Lineup, ESPN, Yes Network, covering the Nets as well. Did you see this report, Frank? I started the show talking about this with the Hoops Wire, had the report about players, multiple players on the Knicks, being unhappy with the presence of Rick Brunson. Give me your thoughts on Brunson's presence and maybe what that report could mean there for the Knicks moving forward.
Yeah, I think it's interesting, right? So I think if you went around to every team in the league and you gave the players truth serum, I bet you a lot of them would say, I can't stand our head coach. I can't stand that one assistant coach. So I think the fact that he happens to be related to the star player on the team, I don't really understand what the issue would be. It certainly didn't prevent Jalen Brunson from having two great seasons back-to-back. It certainly didn't prevent Karl Anthony Towns from having a great season. It didn't prevent OG Anunoby from having his best season in the NBA. And it didn't prevent Josh Hart from becoming setting the single-season record for triple-doubles by a Knick player. So I think that, see, this is kind of the vacuum that you have now. Now that the coach is gone, and now it's everyone's kind of looking for stories, and every little thing, everyone's going to get called out. I'm not so sure. You know, Rick Brunson, you've got to remember this, too. It's not like the Knicks hired Rick Brunson so they could get Jalen Brunson to come to the team. Rick had worked basically, I think he worked 1 year with George Karl in Denver, if I'm not mistaken. But he's been Tom's guy. Tom had him as a player. He's known him since, I think, Rick was in high school up in Massachusetts. And, you know, Rick worked with Tom in Chicago. He worked with him in Minnesota. He worked with him in New York. So that's been part of his coaching staff. So I think whatever players are probably saying that are probably the weak-minded guys that are just looking to deflect blame from themselves.
Do you think then that Rick Brunson would stay on regardless of who the Knicks hire as the next head coach?
Well, that'll be interesting to see because, you know, the Knicks didn't give Tom full control over his staff. You know, they placed a couple of coaches on there. He did eventually get most of his guys on the staff. So, you know, I don't know if it's Johnny Bryan, if it's Jason Kidd, if it's fill in the blank. I think you have to leave it up to that coach to decide. But here's the thing, too, the risk that you run. You know, Jalen likes having his father around. Right. And nobody is harder on Jalen than Rick is. It's not like Rick is sitting around blaming everyone. I mean, he gets on Jalen a lot. From everything I heard, he was really ticked off at Jalen after game one. If you go back to the final 14 seconds when he passes the ball to Karl Anthony Towns, and he should have run to get it back. Because in that moment, you'd feel a lot more confident with Jalen Brunson at the free throw line. Now, it's still on Karl to make two free throws. He missed one. And then a few seconds later, OG Anunoby went one of two. So that, you know, like, Rick doesn't sit there with his son and say, you know what, it's the other 14 knuckleheads that are blame, and you're completely blameless here. You know, he's actually good for his son. And again, let's look at the results. Like, it's just weird how we always want to make it about everything else. And it goes back to Jeff Van Gundy's famous quote from more than 20 years ago. If they can't get you on results, they'll get you on relationships. And I think that's the case here with Rick. I certainly think it's the case with Tom. You can't complain about the results. So now everyone's going to complain about the offense that he runs. They were top five offense, by the way. You know, defensively, they don't get after it. Well, they do start two guys that aren't great defensive players. No one is going to bring up, well, they beat Boston. They won 50 games. They made it to the conference finals first time in 25 years. That, there's no debating. So that's why everyone focuses on everything else.
And I do think that's why most Knicks fans are upset with this one. All right, you mentioned Jeff Van Gundy. He would be my number one choice. I've been begging for it forever. Do you think, first, Jeff Van Gundy would be interested, and then second, would the Knicks be interested in him?
I think the Knicks would definitely be interested in him. How can you not be? You know, Jeff did a really good job as Ty Lue's assistant coach this year. He and Ty Lue get along great. I know Jeff has a really good relationship with the owner, Steve Ballmer. Whether Jeff would move in after Tom left, because the two of them are really, really close. That's the part which I would have to let Jeff speak for himself, but I find that one a little hard to believe. Just with the way that it ended with Tom, I don't know if Jeff, who's one of his best friends, would all of a sudden go to, even though Jeff wants a head coaching job, and it's a joke that people don't hire him, because, you know, everybody now, they go for like the much younger guy. We had a guy call up our radio show today and said, you know, he wants Johnny Bryant because younger guys relate better to the players. And I said, well, how's it working out for Rick Carlisle? It's just a matter of whether or not you can coach. Like, no, don't give me all this. Like, the players, you know what the players care about? That you can make them better so you can get paid. So if you're 100 years old and you help the player do that, they'll call you a player's coach.
And what's,
if you're 32 years old and fight with the players and they don't get better and you lose, they're not going to say, you know what, I had a really good relationship with him. He's a cool guy. They're not going
to
say
that. The age should have nothing to do with it. And Van Gundy's as likable as an individual as there is around the NBA. Do you know his relationship with Leon Rose and or Jalen Brunson, Van Gundy?
Well, he's known. I mean, Jalen was, you know, kicking around the Knick locker room all the way back in 99. Right. And you have to remember, too, like Jeff and Rick Brunson, you know, were very close when Rick was a player.
Right.
He was, you know, the last guy on the roster. You know, it was almost like he was part of the coaching staff. And Rick had this way about him where, you know, he hung around with Marcus Camby and Latrell Sprewell, who were almost like the renegades. I don't mean that in a bad way, like the renegades on the team. But Rick also had a good relationship with Patrick Ewing. He also had a good relationship with Allen Houston. He also had a good relationship with Charlie Ward. Like Rick, like maybe even back then, was thinking like a coach. He knew how to maintain. The locker room was kind of never divided in this weird way because of Larry Johnson. And because of Rick, just like the way Rick kind of meshed the older guys with the younger guys together and really made it work.
What about Rick being a head coach at some point? Maybe not here for this spot. You think Rick wants to be a head coach and potentially leave Jalen? Or is there any chance he gets this job?
I don't know. I think a lot of guys know that that's a tough job, being a head coach. And I think kind of he enjoys his role now. I remember a few years ago him saying, oh, eventually at some point, I'll become a scout. I think like he obviously wants to be part of it, you know, as a head coach. You know, everybody always says they wouldn't do it, and then they get offered a job, and then they take the job. So I'm not so sure about that one.
All right, so Van Gundy's realistic, right? He would be my first choice. I don't know. You have more insight than I do. That's why I'm asking you, but at least he's realistic. You were the first person I saw mention the next guy's name, Jason Kidd. He would be my second choice if I had to, because I want experience, familiarity with New York, him and Brunson get along together. What do you think about the possibility of Jason Kidd becoming the Knicks' next head coach?
Yeah, and I think it kind of tells you that the Knicks really didn't have a plan, because at first, when you heard Tom was fired, that people started mentioning replacements. It was Chris Finch, Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd. All those guys are under contract. Even Jeff Van Gundy's under contract with another team. I think Jason Kidd is an excellent coach. He knows the market. I think he had a pretty good relationship with Jim Dolan when he was here. Casey Smith is like the head of performance for the Knicks, who was in Dallas for a really long time, knows Jason. And then, like you said, Jason has a good relationship with Rick Brunson, whether or not Jalen Brunson. Now, whether or not they could get him is another story. I mean, you know, Dallas was a team that was really, you know, in the sewer, so to speak. And then look what happened. They win the number one overall pick. So now you're looking at Cooper Flagg with Anthony Davis and Kyrie. You think he's eventually going to come back at some point next season. Dallas could have a really good team. So could they blow him out of the water? Would have to give compensation? Yes. But, you know, it's also funny, too. And if you went around the league and you picked out any coach, Sal, and you want to make a positive, you want to make a case for why he'd be a good hire, or you want to make a positive why he'd be bad, and it's a negative thing and maybe he should even be fired. Like, think about Jason Kidd. So everyone talked about the Knicks being run into the ground, right? So this year, Dallas had Luka, missed a ton of games with a calf injury. Kyrie Irving blew out his knee. Anthony Davis got hurt in his first game. Derek Lively missed a long time with an injury, and Daniel Gafford missed a long time with an injury. So no one ever brings that stuff up. Everybody always makes it seem like there's only one team where guys get hurt, when it happens all over the league. And the funny thing is, this year, the Knicks were healthy. It wasn't Jason. They didn't have Jason Tatum blowing out his Achilles. They didn't have Steph Curry pulling a hamstring in game one. You know, injuries happen all the time. It's just interesting with Jason Kidd that, you know, wasn't there the one game where they almost didn't have enough guys to play because so many guys were banged up. So my thing is, the fans think there's this ideal, perfect coach out there that everything is going to work out perfectly. Just be careful with that. That doesn't exist.
BT and Sal on the Fan. We'll talk with Frank Isola. A couple more for you, Frank. Johnny Bryant, you think, now for me, I'd go nuts if it's a head coach without experience. I know that that's happened in some spots where there was success. People keep talking about Steve Kerr. Yeah, there's a big difference between where the Knicks were at and where Steve Kerr took over. But what do you think of Johnny Bryant as a potential next head coach for the Knicks?
You know, it's weird. I always have kind of this like soft spot for the assistant coach who didn't play in the NBA and really has to kind of defy the odds. And I mean, you know, Chuck Daly became a Hall of Fame coach. And then you have the Knicks' most recent coach didn't play in the NBA. And the coach before that was really successful was Jeff Van Gundy, who also didn't play in the NBA. So like part of you wants to root for Johnny Bryant. Now, you know, some of the reports that I got on him are somewhat lukewarm. And I just laugh at when people say, you know, I'd love to see Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd, or Johnny Bryant. What do you know about Johnny Bryant? What do you know about him? I mean, he's never been a head coach in the league before. So he could turn out to be a prodigy. He could turn out to be a great coach, or he could turn out to be a disaster. It's not like you can't put him in the group of Ime Udoka, Jason Kidd, and Jeff Van Gundy. They have a proven track record. So you would be handing over a team to a guy that's never coached, and the bar has now been set by the franchise. They won 10 games, and that wasn't good enough in the playoffs. So next year, you know, you're walking into a situation where you have to win 11 games. Now, you could say maybe we'll give the coach a honeymoon period, but the bar has been set. So next year, like for the players who Tom took bullets for them all year long, did you ever hear Tom throw a player under the bus? So next year, this is a lot of it's going to be on the players. A lot of it's going to be on the front office. I don't know. Would they give it to a guy that's never been a head coach at any level to take over a team that they believe could be a championship team?
You think Tibbs wanted Karl Anthony Towns or just went along for the ride?
No. Tom just wants good players. That, all that stuff with, you know, Tom having a falling out with Karl Anthony Towns. You know, Karl became an all-star for the first time under Tom. Tom's not like that. If a player's had an issue with him in the past, so Jimmy Butler, remember the whole thing with Jimmy Butler, where Jimmy Butler got mad at the owner of Minnesota, Glenn Taylor, because he tried to, he offered him a contract that wasn't the full max. So then Jimmy Butler, as he's prone to do, acted like an immature baby and, you know, basically was protesting until they traded him. And he really undermined the season, and he really undermined the coach that had brought him to Minnesota, the guy that developed him into a terrific player in Chicago. The next year, when Tom is out of the league, or 2 years later, when Tom is out of the league and Jimmy Butler's in Miami, Tom's like spending a week in Miami hanging out with Jimmy Butler. You know, so he's not, like, I don't know, he looks at that part of it like it's a business. So with Carl, he thought that Carl could make the team better, and he was all for the trade. Now, he liked Julius Randle, he liked Dante DiVincenzo. But you name the player, if Kevin Durant became available Tom would say, yeah, let's try to do that. He's great. We'll make it work somehow. I don't think he ever looks at it as if Kevin Durant, oh, my God, he can end up getting me fired. He doesn't look it like that. I think the fans don't get that. Tom is just competitive, and he wants to win. And if he feels like he has the players that can help him win, and let's face it, they went further than last year's team did. So the trade from that standpoint worked out. I get it. Everyone's treating it like it's a failure because, you know, the 25-year-old Knick fan knows what it takes to win in New York. The coach who's in his 60s doesn't. I get it. They think it's a failure. I mean, you're pretty smart, so you've been around a long time. It's a disappointing finish to the season, no question about it. The season is not a failure, I'm sorry.
I haven't seen it in 25 years, for goodness sake. I mean, come on. I'm old enough to remember when the Knicks were good, when this was a constant thing. They finally got it back, and now they move on. All right, two more for you, Frank. Does Tibbs get another job? Would he take another job in the NBA as a head coach?
Oh, I think he would take another one. Whether or not he gets one, you know, it's tough. I mean, yeah, you have so many, you know, owners have to sign off on things. You got all these guys in the front office. Look at the Phoenix job. You know, Jordan Ott, you know, hopefully it works out for him. Again, another assistant coach that's bounced around a little bit and finally getting a break. You know, he's taking over, you know, a team that really struggled. Kevin Durant probably won't be there. What's the connection? Jordan Ott worked for Tom Izzo at Michigan State. Who played for Tom Izzo at Michigan State? Matt Ishbia, the owner of the Phoenix Suns. It was a walk-on there. So there's a connection. There always has to be. I don't think Jordan Ott is getting hired by the Phoenix Suns unless there was some kind of connection to Matt Ishbia and also to Tom Izzo. So I think wherever Tom goes, I think the team's going to be successful because if you look at his run in Chicago, turn that around, turn Minnesota around, turn the New York Knicks around. Whether or not, you know, a front office is going to want to do that remains to be seen. I don't, you know, I would hire him if I'm some of these teams that are constantly losing, and that's why I got to give Leon Rose credit. You know, Leon Rose, you know, his first hire was going to be Tom, and Tom did a really good job for the Knicks and Leon Rose, and that's why Leon Rose should have come out after the season. Instead of having exit interviews, listen to the players. They should have celebrated the year that they had and be happy and be proud about it like most teams would be. I mean, they made the Final Four. Like, being one of the last four teams in the NBA is pretty good, especially when one of the wins that you had was knocking off the defending champs.
Yeah, and especially for a franchise that hasn't done it in so long. Yep. Do you have any issue with the Knicks partying? I don't know if you saw that exclusive with the Post. They had all the pictures. Knicks partying basically 24 hours after getting bounced by the Pacers.
Nah, I think, you know, the players are, you know, it's a long season. It's a grind. I don't mind stuff like that. I mean, I think I always look at professional athletes like this. You know, I've been in a lot of losing locker rooms. I mean, I was in I remember being in the Pirates locker room with Barry Bonds after they lost that crazy game to the Atlanta Braves. That was the Sid Breen.
Francisco Cabrera.
Cabrera, yeah. You know, Barry Bonds is basically crying. It's like, you know, this unbelievable player who struggled again. I think in that moment, the players are upset. But I think what makes them great is, you know, they leave and it's like, okay, now we have to move on. And it's fine if they blow off steam. I think if those pictures came out after game five and they were partying after they won game five and maybe not solely focused on game six, maybe that would be an issue. But the season is over. I mean, you know, today at 5 o'clock, a lot of people are going to get off work. I mean, your producers are probably always out partying, too. So when they get off work, they're going to go out and take it easy. So we're going to take pictures of those guys. I'm going to talk about that tomorrow on my radio show.
All right. That was really a setup to what I wanted to finish with here. Do you think Ewing and the boys were partying after the missed finger roll in 1995?
All right. I think it's also different. We're also in the Instagram age. So, you know, maybe they were doing it, but nobody was really taking pictures.
Hey, you were around that team. You knew those guys as well as anybody. You think Patrick Ewing, John Starks, Charles Oakley, those guys were partying after Game 7 at Miss Finger Roll in 1995?
Well, if they were, I wish they would invite me. I would have liked to hang out with some of those parties. I can only imagine what was going on. Listen, it was a bit of a different generation. And, you know, when you were, I mean, I still remember being in the locker room in 2000, and you'll remember this, Sal. You know, the last time the Knicks made the conference finals, and that ended up being, you know, that game six against Indiana ended up being Patrick's last ever game in a Nick uniform. And that was the series in that game where the crowd was groaning a lot when he would catch the ball. So even though Patrick was playing less minutes, taking less shots per game, he was still getting most of the blame. And the image of him sitting with the ice on his knees and his feet in a bucket and just looking like completely beaten down, that like, what do people want from me? Like, I took on a lesser role and I'm still the guy getting destroyed. He didn't say that, but you could tell that that's how he felt. So I don't think that night Patrick went out after a game. That's for sure. But that image of him always sticks out because it's a lot different today. I told, you know, you'd like this. I told him a few weeks ago when I saw him at a game. I said, you came along at the wrong time. I said, the way it is today, we're not allowed to criticize players anymore. We have to give all the players a safe space. I said, now the coach only gets blamed. I said, you blew it, dude. You never should have been born in Michael Jordan's era. And if you were born now, you'd make more money and you wouldn't get any blame. People would say, you got to give Patrick his safe space. In fact, you'd get canceled for criticizing Patrick. Yeah, he agreed with me.
Yeah, that is tremendous. He is Frank Isola, author of the first book that I ever read, Just Born, The Chaotic
there
Rise. Yeah, I love that book, Frank, and I love you. Thank you for the time. We appreciate the insight. We'll talk to you soon.
You're the best. Say goodbye. Say hello to my boy, BT.
Will do. BT is off today. I'll tell him you said hello. All right, there you have it. Frank Isola giving the insight there with the Knicks.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
A surprise to break up the chatter. And you know what? I needed a surprise like this. Joining us right now is a guy that when people ask me who my favorite Yankee is, I'm throwing his name out there because I got to meet the guy a few years back. He was listening to Steve Summers. He started listening to me. I found out he was following me online. I'm like, oh, I didn't even know he had an Instagram. And he's got a softball game coming up, and I missed it the last 2 years because I was moving, and I'm so excited to play in this game this year. Joining us right now, 5-1, burn, baby, burn, Bernie Williams.
All right. Thank you so much for having me. You're playing this year, right?
I am playing this year. This year, I signed a 2-year lease in my apartment. I'm in there.
That's awesome, man. 2 years ago, I think it was 3 years ago you played, and you did a great job. I think we won, and you had a very important part in that win. So we need you back, man.
Yeah, I homered in my first at bat, and then I was running down some fly balls, and then I did an interview, and they put a young lady out in left field, and then when I got back into the dugout with Mariano Rivera is like, hey, man, where you at? What were you doing? I was like, I was doing an interview with Chris DeStefano. He's like, no more interviews. We need you in the outfield. I'm like, yes, sir.
Yeah, I'm like, oh, he comes there every year, and he definitely wants to win. He does not want to lose that game. So yeah, it's always a lot of fun. We're gonna have a lot of great people this year, so it's gonna be amazing.
Let's talk about the guest list. I've got it in front. So I'll read it, and you can add any other people to it. I've got the preliminary guys right now. We're talking a lot about the Knicks. Stephon Marbury will be there. I'm actually watching a Mets classic from May 28th, 2013, and they just interviewed Doc Gooden. Doc Gooden will be there. My guy, Nikki Cass. Everybody knows Nikki Cass. He does great TikToks and Instagram videos. The Scarlatta Twins, I was just with them Saturday in Brooklyn. Jim Leyritz, Shane Spencer, Josh Segura, Ryan Christopher. Let's see if I can keep going. John Jastrzemski, we all know John from WFAN and now The Ringer. The Bronx Zoo creator, my guy Jake Kosak. Sweeney Murdy, we all know Sweeney Murdy as well. There's a large group of people. I'm sure I'm forgetting some people.
Yeah, we have he's a former NFL All-Pro kicker, Mr. Richie Cunningham from the Dallas Cowboys.
I see him too.
I've been playing golf with him lately. Yes, he's such a great guy. I'm so glad that he was able to make it.
So tell everybody what the cause is and what you've been doing this for. This is the 9th annual Bernie Williams Day celebrity charity softball game and all-star concert.
Yeah, it gets bigger and bigger every year. We support a lot of causes in the area, especially around Richfield, Danbury, all this area here in Connecticut, some of it as well in New York. I'm so fortunate to have the opportunity to do this. I think this is going to be the ninth event, ninth year. Overwhelmed with the support that I've gotten all these years. We do the softball game, and then right after the softball game, we do a concert with my band. And I tell you, we have a lot of great guests, mostly from the jazz realm. We have Mr. Emmett Cohen from Life at Emmett's House. I mean, I know if you know anything about music in New York, that is the place to be. For all the young and all ages musicians, everybody that is in the scene right now, in the music scene, they all have perform at Emmett's House in Manhattan. So he is actually a co. He was a classmate of mine at Manhattan School of Music, and that's when I knew him. He was doing his master's, I think, at 17 years old, and I was doing my undergrad at 45. But he was just a virtuoso. Musician, and we're so glad to have him in the band. Dan Orlando is going to be there. I think also we're going to have the privilege to have back in the band Mr. Richie Cannata, which is one of my mentors. He was actually the first person that put the band together for me back in, I would say a long time ago. And he has gotten through a lot of things in his life, health-wise, and we are so glad to have him back with us. It's such a blessing to have him in. He's just a great musician and even better person. So just a few of the people that we're going to have in. It's always a great event. A lot of people show up, even on the stands. They all try to get a glimpse of all the people that show up. Some of my ringers, coming in to play the game, and they stay for the concert, and it's just a great event and a great day. It's a long day, but so much worth it.
Yeah, it was fun. When I went out there, it was like you play the game during the day, and then we break, and you eat, and then the sun is setting, and you guys are playing all types of music and just setting the vibe. It's awesome. Jake Peavy played in the game and then also got on stage with you guys last time, so I'm looking forward to it. And, Bernie, you just said you studied music, so go back for some people, because there's some people that think that you're not really a musician, that you don't really play the guitar, that you're just booking these things because you're Bernie Williams. But this is a passion, and I've got a ton of respect for people that can, play a sport and also play an instrument, because my two things growing up was always sports and music.
Yeah. Thank you for letting me, talk about this. My background, I grew up in Puerto Rico, and my mom was an educator. And she and my father, they both believe in the sound mind and the sound body. All of these sports and music and art-related activities were basically geared towards making us well-rounded. Me and my brother, he's a lawyer down in Puerto Rico. My brother is, and he's also a cellist. So we had a great opportunity to be exposed to a lot of things. I just happened to choose baseball because I had a great opportunity when I was very young, and you know, just kind of saw it, you know, all the way in. Retired, you know, at 37, and then I went back to music, to the Manhattan School of Music, and got an undergrad degree, a bachelor's in jazz performance. So, you know, with my activities, you know, trying to help, you know, the team as much as I can, you know, in spring training and trying to root for them. I'm talking about the Yankees, of course. I spend, you know, a big chunk of my time playing music outside. I've been playing literally all over the world. Literally, I mean, I've been to Egypt, London, Bordeaux, France, South Africa, you know, all, you know, playing great music and having an opportunity to meet with a whole lot of great people. So I'm so just so fortunate to have this opportunity to have a, you know, great career. In my mind, you know, I just had so much fun playing baseball with the Yankees, you know, part of all those, you know, all those championships, and to kind of do a 180 degree and turn around and become, you know, have an opportunity to pursue music, you know, as seriously as I can and become the best musician that I can. It is, I mean, I'm just kind of living the dream, man.
Yeah, you're a great athlete, a great musician, and a great person, Bernie. The thing that I tell people is how humble you are and how you treat everybody with the same respect. So I know you'll do that when people come out. It's Saturday, June 14th at the Ridgefield Playhouse in Ridgefield, Connecticut. Ridgefieldplayhouse.org is how you find out the info and go buy your tickets. Ridgefieldplayhouse.org. I'll be there. A bunch of people will be there. We're going to play the game. We're going to have the food and the concert after and just kind of enjoy a Saturday in the summer. Hopefully the weather is good, and don't miss it. There's just a lot of cool people that come out, and then obviously Bernie Williams is the man of the hour. You get to see him play, and you also get to see him play play the guitar. So, Bernie, anything else that you have to add? I'll ask you a question, and then I'll let you add anything. You know, the Yankees were able to avoid the sweep and come out of, you know, Dodger Stadium with one win. Some fans were overreacting because obviously we lost to the Dodgers in the World Series, but it's regular season baseball, right? What are your thoughts about just, you know, losing a series in May and how different the teams will be and how much this won't really matter if we do have an actual World Series rematch this year?
Yeah, I think, you know, you are right on point. I think, you know, games in the regular season just sort of gives you sort of a little bit of a measurement on, you know, how to take a feel on the teams, you know, that you're, you know, perhaps will be able to play against in the postseason. I know there's a lot of things that come into play. I know that we are definitely playing these games, missing a lot of the Gerrit Cole, you know, persona on the team. You know, when that happened in spring training, I said, hey, man, this is a big, huge blow for the team. But with that said, the team has been able to have a tremendous season, you know, so far. And, I mean, as I understand, you know, they're first in the division. I know that we're always looking into playing in the postseason, which is, you know, has been our motto every year, you know, for the last, I don't know, 20 years or so since I've been playing. So I would say, you know, don't despair. Don't get overwhelmed. You know, don't overreact. You know, it's still a long time to go during the regular season. And who knows what could happen. I know the Yankees always have the ability to restack, you know, halfway through the season and try to get the missing pieces that they need to try to, you know, get through and hopefully get an opportunity to win the World Series this year. With that said, I know that the Dodgers, in my mind, they are the team to beat. I think, you know, they have the pitching. They have it sort of stacked up with the offense, especially with Otani and, you know, Mookie Betts. You know, you got Freeman, and then you got everybody else in that team. They're very strong, but I believe that we have the team to beat them this year, and hopefully that'll be the case.
Bernie, you're the man. I got to plug the game again.
Thank you, man. Thank you.
the 9th annual Bernie Williams Day celebrity softball game and all-star concert, Saturday, June 14th in Ridgefield, Connecticut. Go to ridgefieldplayhouse.org to get your tickets. There's a bunch of different packages where you could get a ticket just to attend the game or the game and concert. Check it out, ridgefieldplayhouse.org. I'll be playing in the game. There'll be a bunch of people up there from Doc Gooden, Stephon Marbury, Jim Leyrich, Shane Spencer, a lot of influencers as well, the Scarlatta Twins, Nikki Cass, our friends from WFAN, Sweeney Murdy, John Jastrzemski. Yeah, we'll all be out there, so we look forward to seeing you then. Bernie, anything else for the fans?
Thank you so much. Yeah, we have a slew of concerts. Well, I'm so fortunate to be able to play with the New York Philharmonic. They have a series of concerts in all the parks. I think Prospect Park, Central Park, Van Cortlandt, from the 3rd of June to the 7th. So this is happening next week. Also, I have on the 14th a concert just debuting one of my wines at the Millbrook Winery in Millbrook, New York. And, you know, obviously always trying to support, you know, idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis and interstitial lung disease with BI, Boehringer Ingelheim, with my Tune Into Lung Health campaign. And I just, you know, trying to get people to go to my website and try to get some information on those events. And thank you so much for giving me the opportunity to talk about them here.
Oh, I'm coming to the wine event. My wife loved it last year, and Forge just told me the date, so I'm going to text her during this next break. I think this year we're going to try and stay at a hotel or an Airbnb up there so we could stay the whole time, and hopefully the weather holds up. It rained a little bit on us, but it was fantastic. My wife still tells people about
it. Thank you so much. Hopefully the weather will hold up, but there's always a great event, and music is awesome, and then you get a chance to drink some good wine.
Bernie, you're the man. Burn, baby, burn, ladies and gentlemen. Bernie Williams on The Fan in New York.
Thank you so much, man. God bless you, and continued success.
I've been listening to what this man has said. He joins us right now, and he's been very, you know, calmly saying, hey, guys, there's no guarantee Tom Thibodeau is back. They're going to have meetings. They're going to talk about it, and we'll see. And I listened very carefully to him, and I said, wow, they may not bring him back. Mm-hmm. And on this Tuesday, they didn't bring him back. Ian, who's done a great job with SNY, thank you very much for coming on. Your initial reaction to the Knicks' decision to move on from Tom Thibodeau?
You know, Evan, even with all that, I'm still surprised just because a couple reasons. The body of work, which we all know about. But really, the second reason is that extension, which I think has yet to kick in, more than $30 million guaranteed there. And I just thought that given the progress year over year, despite the lack of going where they wanted to go, and that money, I just thought at the end of the day they would say, you know what, let's see what happens this year. We'll ride it out one more year, then we'll make a change. But clearly this was I was wrong about that guess and the whatever happened at these meetings. Pardon me, guys.
No, I was going to say, maybe the Sphere is just raking in the cash for Dolan so he doesn't have to worry about the $30 million. But don't you think at some point, I don't want to say Dolan because I don't think it was Dolan. I think it was Leon Oswald. Let's just answer that question for us. Who made this decision?
Sure. You know, I would say this. It's Leon Rose's decision. James Dolan's the owner, so he has to okay it, especially when you're talking about that amount of money that you owe somebody. And so I could say that in the past, there were a couple instances over Tom Thibodeau's coaching tenure where, you know, it was clear that, you know, something was amiss, right? And there was one where Jim Dolan gave Leon Rose the green light to make a change if he felt like he needed to make a change. At that point, Leon Rose stuck with Tom Thibodeau. Twice he stuck with Tom Thibodeau, was not going to change the head coach. So that tells you that something was different now, and whatever changed that unwavering support, I think, is part of what led to this decision today. Because it was Leon Rose's decision. It's just something that the owner signs off on.
Okay, because that's very important, because I know that there are going to be many Knick fans, and they're going to be split on the decision, obviously, but they trust Leon Rose, and why wouldn't they? The guy's been here for 5 years. He's turned the franchise around. There is still a lack of trust for the owner because of the past, and the past is a long time ago, but he was very handsy a long time ago. You can confidently tell Knick fans this was a Leon Rose decision to move on from Tom Thibodeau.
Yeah, I could say I want to say it this way because I don't know 1,000% that Leon was banging the table, but I do want to say this.
Yeah,
it does not happen without Leon Rose's full support. Doesn't happen. No, regardless of how they came to it, what percentage it was, this guy, that guy, whatever. It's not going to happen without Leon Rose's full support.
When you,
if Leon Rose didn't fully support it, he would have been fired too.
Gotcha. All right, makes sense. We're talking to Ian Begley. The decision to change the starting lineup in the middle of the Eastern Conference Finals, now that Tom is gone, it's popping into our head. Did that decision even come from Tom? Was the front office kind of telling Tom Thibodeau, we have to change some things throughout the postseason, or is your reporting and interpretation that those were truly Tom Thibodeau decisions?
You know, if they did influence that decision, it would be a big departure from how things happened, unfolded previously for Thibodeau and the Knicks. Everything was ultimately his call. There were some suggestions made that some were ignored. Maybe others were not ignored, but regardless of the outside influence, everything was ultimately his call. So I have to assume that nothing changed there, and the lineup change was ultimately his call. It was clear something needed to change because the starters had been outscored by 50 points combined in the postseason, and they were down 0-2. So right, backs against the wall, you know, I think anybody would make a change no matter how married you are to that starting five.
Yeah, we talked a lot about the plus-minus of the starting five. It was one of the worst in the postseason of all the teams, even the ones that had been eliminated. But when you talk about the players, do you have any idea, any indication, other than what I think Josh Hart put something out, but what is their thought on this? What speculation would you have on their thoughts on this, given how tight they seem to Tom Thibodeau?
I mean, yeah, you heard Jalen Brunson after game six, right? Mm-hmm. Unequivocally supporting Tom Thibodeau, saying essentially it was a ridiculous question to even ask.
Right.
But Tiki, I mean, you know this, right? Like, if you go into any locker room, you're going to find a faction of guys that don't like the head coach. And so that's just true, at least of any NBA locker room. And so you could find that in the Knicks locker room if you wanted to. So I don't want to say, you know, that everybody's kind of broken up over this. I'm
right,
sure some of the players are not. But there were guys who rode with Tom Thibodeau. But I think even in an honest moment with those guys, they would probably agree with the idea that, hey, we may need a new voice here to get over the hump. You know, we love Tom Thibodeau. We love what he did here, what he's done here. We believe in him. But at the same time, they would probably agree with that idea that a new voice could be needed.
We've seen in the NBA, star players are at least consulted on these kinds of decisions. Do you think Jalen Brunson was ever consulted on this decision?
I don't think that. My assumption is the Knicks, because of the relationship there, Leon Rose, basically a family to Jalen Brunson, I just don't think they would put him in that position. I don't think they would. And I don't think Jalen Brunson would be comfortable in that position, you know, having a voting share, so to speak, into Tom Thibodeau's fate because of his relationship with Tom Thibodeau. If my guess would be that they, sure, you're gonna maybe take his temperature a little bit, but you're not gonna put anything on him in a definitive sense because you don't want to put him in that position, particularly because of the organic nature of the relationships here. It's not just that he was coached by him for the last few years; they've known each other forever.
I want to go back to something you said at the top. We're talking to Ian Begley, that there were other kind of times during Thibodeau's run here where the green light was given if they wanted to make a change. One that jumps out at me is missing the playoffs in year two. That seems kind of like, okay, yeah, they went backwards. Maybe they fire the coach. What were the other kind of moments in time where there was a green light for them to change and remove Tom Thibodeau?
You know, Evan, you're going to remember one of these because it was the year that they missed the playoffs, but it was at the All-Star break. And I think the game before the All-Star break, your Brooklyn Nets came in and destroyed the Knicks, if I'm remembering correctly. And it was Cam Thomas going crazy in the Garden.
Very pleasant memory. Thanks for bringing that up.
Of course. I figured I'd make you smile. Yeah. So that was the game before the break. A few games prior, they had been just get non-competitive in some of those games. So I was told that at that point, Leon Rose had the green light to make a decision. He decided to stick with Tom Thibodeau. That decision then obviously bore fruit because of how things have played out over the last few years. The other instance that I know of is I believe the Knicks started 10-13 one season. I want to say it was Jalen Brunson's first year in New York. And the idea was, hey, they had gotten blown out by OKC and Dallas, I think, and they were facing Cleveland on a back-to-back at home. And I thought if they lost that game, you know, changes were coming, and I'm pretty sure that's accurate. But they won the game, and if, I don't know if you remember, Tom Thibodeau took Derrick Rose and Evan Fournier out of the rotation, put Quentin Grimes in. Mm. They kind of took off from there,
yep.
surprisingly, and it went how it went. But that was another time where things were kind of teetering.
Yeah. Ian, we would think that when you make a move like this, team that is viable enough to get to the Eastern Conference Final, maybe there's even championship viable because of the stars that they have on this roster, you would think that ownership, or Leon Rose in this case, would have someone in mind. So as we start to think forward, who are the likely candidates?
I mean, if you just logically, you connect dots, right? Johnny Bryant, associate head coach with the Knicks, was brought here. It was not part of the Thibodeau, you know, kind of coaching tree. So it was outside of Thibodeau, that hire. And he went to Cleveland, and now he's a finalist for Phoenix. So logic tells you that he's at least being discussed. Again, it's so fresh that I Mike Malone is like an obvious name that's out there. I hadn't heard that like was their obvious, you know, candidate right. if this were to happen. And so I wonder, look, college, I don't think Jay Wright is would be the answer. I don't think that would happen. And, you know, sometimes, like, you've seen it, Evan, because you know the league, like, surprising things happen over the course of an offseason where, like, coaches may become available that we don't even know about for right. whatever reason. And so, you know, maybe that you wait that out. That's why I don't think, like, and we're getting an answer tomorrow
yeah.
about who the next head coach is. Obviously, they have ideas of where they could go and would like to go, but I think that maybe you let it play out a little bit and you see where things go.
So it's not as if they fired Tibbs with an eye on someone. They just made the decision, we don't think we can get to the next level with Tibbs, let's move on, and we're going to go on an open search to find his replacement.
I think there's a search. I think there's ideas of where they could go, but I just don't, like, specifically with Mike Malone, I just don't think, like, that was ever seen as, like, all right, well, we could definitely get rid of Tibbs and hire Mike Malone because he's out there. I don't think that specifically was the case. So I say that to say, like, I don't think there's an obvious available coach that's, like, a layup that's going to be hired tomorrow.
Do you think experience is going to be a big deal? We've gone through some of the coaching changes over the years that's led to championships, whether it's Ty Lue replacing David Blatt or it's Steve Kerr replacing Mark Jackson or Nick Nurse in Toronto. And so you don't necessarily need experience, as those examples show you.
Yeah.
Do you get a vibe from Leon and the crew that they're going to want experience, or they may be open to a Johnny Bryant and someone who hasn't done it at the NBA level before?
My read, and look, the conversations I've had, I'm not able to obviously pull that whole Knicks front office, you know how media friendly they are, but just my read and my conversations, I think probably experience matters here. And so that's why, you know, Johnny Bryant could be the guy. Maybe my read is off, but I think that just based on how everything has come to this point, I think experience will matter.
Yeah.
And like you look at a Joe Mazzulla even, and that is, you know, you can make an argument there that, hey,
yeah,
he was the guy. They just didn't know about it. So maybe somebody's pounding the table, pointing at Mazzulla saying, hey, this is why we need Johnny. But I would guess ultimately it's more likely to be an experienced head coach than a first year head coach.
Yeah. Do we have any speculation of what's going to happen with Rick Brunson? Obviously his son is one of the great players in the game right now, and he's here, but he's not guaranteed to be back. We got a caller asked about it earlier. I said, he's going to have to earn his job regardless of who comes in here. But what do you think happens with that coach son dynamic?
Well, I think Rick also signed a multi-year extension. Obviously, that doesn't guarantee it job security, as we saw with Thibodeau. I don't know. I could just give you, like, my read based on how things have gone. I think if anything were to happen there, it would be like I don't think you're going to fire Rick Brunson. I think it would be a joint decision if anything happened there. It's like, everybody decides that, hey, this is, the way we want to go, and that's whether he stays or whether he decides to not stay. I think it would be no one would force him out, would be my assumption, just based on the dynamic.
We're talking to Ian Begley of SNY. Obviously, the big news today, the Knicks are moving on from Tom Thibodeau. And one of the early reactions I had to this is it reminded me of Girardi and the Yankees. The Yankees got to the ALCS. They're in the seventh game. They had made such great progress as an organization, and they moved on from him. His contract was running off, but they decided to move on from him. And I remember as the months went on, it was revealed that, yeah, they could have gone to the World Series, and they were still going to move on from Joe Girardi. So I ask you this with Tibbs. They got to the Eastern Conference Finals. They choked away game one. They easily could have gotten to the NBA Finals. If they did, and they lost to the Thunder like most people would have assumed they would have, do you think we'd be having the same conversation just a week and a half later? Like, they could have gone to the Finals and a change was still going to be made?
No, I really don't think so in my gut, because I think what happened with this Indiana series is the Tibbs flaws came to the surface in terms of not playing your bench in the course of the regular season and then kind of going to them when your back is against the wall, and they gave you something, but they didn't give you enough. And, you know, I think that with that and with the loss of the series, you could see how the direction shifted when you're doing an autopsy in this thing. But if you get by Indiana, I mean, to me, I don't care what happens against OKC. You're in the NBA Finals for the first time since 99, and you have a group that can all come back and easily grow together. I don't think that this decision gets made if they get to OKC.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you mentioned, you know, the players saying things. I've been on teams where coaches kind of don't listen to the players, and you very rarely see them come out and say something publicly. But when Mikal Bridges did that in the middle of the season, it kind of felt like an alarm bell. Did we just miss it? Like, we just miss the maybe behind-the-scenes strife that was going on there?
I don't think that particular statement, like, had big downstream effects, because I think in the aftermath of that, I know that Thibodeau and Bridges talked candidly about what Bridges said, and I think there was a feeling that you might, like, hey, I think that it was taken out of context, and Thibodeau was upset about it. But I think there was a clearing of the air there.
Got it.
And sure, the theme generally, did that contribute? Did the minutes contribute to the decision today? Probably, maybe. But I don't think specifically Mikal going out there publicly started the ball rolling to where we are today.
We're talking to Ian Begley. Obviously, they're going to hire a new head coach. We're going to see what they decide to do. We're going to see what the players' response is. But I also took this as they're probably not going to be able to make major moves with this roster, which we kind of assume just based on contract length, based on the lack of draft picks they have to offer in a trade. Do you look at this as a sign of they know they're committed to the core of this roster, so the only change they could make was a change in head coach?
You know, I think that if a million dominoes fell in the right way, and Giannis Antetokounmpo A, demanded a trade, B, demanded just to be traded to the Knicks, C, Milwaukee says, you've been great for us, we're going to send you where you want to go. Those three dominoes, which are unlikely, fell into place. I'm sure the Knicks would strongly consider, if not definitively, make that move and trade for Giannis Antetokounmpo. But short of that, I can't see, like, Durant, people talk about, I don't see that as a strong possibility at the moment. So I see what you're saying, Evan. More likely, you know, on the edges, maybe significant bench players, maybe rotation players. But the easiest decision to make would be to fire the head coach. Again, if you're willing to pay him out his extension money, which obviously they were, that's the easiest change to make, as it always is in pro sports.
So one other thing, and look, for anyone who, Ian Begley does a great job, and I've been saying this for a few days, listen to what this man reports, because for days he said, it's no lock, this guy's coming back. Mm-hmm. So you do a great job. He also hosts The Putback, which is on the SNY YouTube channel. And one of the things you said earlier, and I want to go deeper into this, is that they had these meetings with top players, normal end-of-the-season meetings, and James Dolan was a part of it, and Leon Rose was a part of that. Is that normal? Is that like your typical end-of-season meetings, or were things handled differently this year because maybe they were trying to figure out if it's the right call to bring Tom Thibodeau back. Walk us through kind of that process.
Yeah, my knowledge, just having covered the league for several years, is usually the exit interview is conducted by executives, and it's with individual players, but it's the whole roster that comes in and conducts an exit interview with the leadership of the organization. I've heard of a couple instances where the coaches sit in on that exit interview, but I've heard a couple instances where they don't, and it's more normal that they don't. So that's the traditional, in my mind, exit meeting setup. This was not that, right? I mean, this was ownership. This was not every player on the roster. This was, you know, a select few players. This was the head coach being included in the postmortem analysis. And so this was a different setup, to my knowledge, than the traditional exit meeting that all teams have.
Yeah. Last one for me, Ian. We haven't heard from Tom Thibodeau, no statement, anything like that. But what do you think his future is? He's 67 years old, so he's not the youngest. But do you think he wants to coach again, and do you think he will?
I think every head coach that has the confidence in themselves to get to this level thinks that they have another job in them. I think that's just the nature of the confidence you need to reach this level of your profession. Whether he gets another head coaching job or not, if I'm guessing, I would guess no. And that's not to disparage Tom Thibodeau, but if you look at how he landed here, it was the organic relationship between himself and Leon Rose, right, and William Wesley and everybody. And I don't know if he has that organic tie to another lead basketball executive with another team. You know, I think more likely scenario, a team needs to shore up its defense, and you bring Tom Thibodeau in that role that he had with the Boston Celtics, where he worked wonders with them defensively when they won a title. I think that would be more likely than him getting another head gig.
Yeah, it's amazing, but I completely agree with you. Last thought here. You mentioned Johnny Bryant. That's the logical one. To me, that just seems to make the most sense, that we end up with Johnny Bryant coming back to the Knick organization and running the show. If you had to guess right now on who the next head coach is, would it be him or would it be somebody else?
My guess is somebody else. My guess is somebody else. Look, clip that. kill me if I'm wrong. Destroy me. Old takes expose everything. But my guess right now would be somebody else.
Interesting. All right. Well, you're not going to be crushed, because I'm telling you, and I said this at the start of the show, because we were talking about Thibodeau's future. I said, people got to listen to Ian Begley. He's telling you this ain't a done deal.
Right.
Pay attention. They may move on from the coach. So I give you a lot of credit. I think you've been all over this. You've done great reporting, and we appreciate you making some time for us. Thank you, Ian.
Thank you, Ian.
I appreciate that, Evan. Thanks a lot, man. Always good to be with you guys. Look forward to talking to you soon.
Well, you got it.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
we've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
True North stores have Primo Eats and Pepsi brand products that are heavy on taste and light on your wallet. Right now, buy any Primo sandwich and add a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Handmade every day, Primo uses quality meats and cheeses. Complete the meal with a Pepsi. Grab any Primo sandwich and pair it with a 20-ounce Pepsi brand beverage for just $1. Get more with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your app store. True North convenience stores. Fast, friendly, clean.